We'll be wearing Oculus Rift visors in 10 years, so drones won't matter because we'll just be on a feeding tube with digital goods. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 5 for Friday, May 8th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we prepare to greet our drone overlords. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
Now, if that's not an ominous and terrifying intro, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's a good Terrifying Robot Dog intro.
It is, yes. I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Me too, I think, overall. There's a couple of things to talk about there, just a couple. Mm-hmm. But, dear robot listener, this week's show, the topic was inspired by news that the FAA recently reversed their line of sight position on drones.
Yeah, I don't know if they fully reversed it, but they're now entertaining the possibility and allowing it for research by big companies like Amazon and Google. And I guess first we should state what their position was to begin with.
Yes.
We're talking about FAA classifies them as UAS is their fancy acronym, unmanned aircraft systems. Hmm. And in particular, this is referring to aircraft that are more than 4.5 pounds and less than 55. So under 4.5 is like going to be all your hobbyist mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
Yeah, digi and
yeah,
little handheld micro. Yeah,
the little ones you can go to Walmart and buy. So initially, they proposed a ruling back in February to introduce some regulations for these lightweight UAS that would restrict it to daytime flight and flight within line of sight and just restrictions on altitude and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. Which is all. I mean, there's drones out already that have GPS positioning and can do non line of sight flight, but I think a lot of them do kind of fall into that sort of hobbyist range. And currently, there is no regulation. So yeah, a lot of this stuff that they're proposing restricting or that companies want to do is legal outside of the U.S. It's mm-hmm. just dealing with. There's a lot of FAA has got all kinds of restrictions here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can imagine it's not totally unfounded. I mean, there's like you mentioned earlier before the show that remote controlled airplanes are already regulated in terms of like altitude or something.
Yeah.
They have to stay under a certain altitude, which makes sense because you don't want them flying into a jet engine, for example.
Right. You don't want them interfering with commercial flights and that sort of thing.
Yeah, non-drones.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that there are definitely, there are things like octocopters that are big enough to carry like a DSLR camera mm-hmm. for like, and they take amazing videos that would be impossible to do even with a real helicopter. That is a really popular thing outside of the U.S. And those things are for sure more than 4.5 pounds because you'd never able to carry a camera without that.
Yeah.
And they do that cool thing where you can program in, you can fly them directly, like, you know, watching it and just telling it where to go. But you can also program in GPS coordinates where it just goes to those spots.
Right.
And will take videos of like a cruise ship or you like zip lining over a waterfall or something. Super dramatic, and there's definitely that's a really cool use case that I think has lots of benefits.
It's a really cool use case for, I mean, just think of like all the things you could do in the film industry with that. I believe Adam Savage said that all the aerial shots for Mythbusters are shot now using drones.
That's so cool. Yeah, I've seen some really breathtaking stuff of mountain climbers, and it's things you couldn't get any other way. It's really amazing.
Right, you're not going to be on the side of a mountain with a selfie stick. Well, I mean, you might if you're Les Stroud, but otherwise.
Right. So, but that's just one application, and there's a million, like, drones have bad reputation almost from every sci-fi dystopian future, like.
Right, and there's been a lot of controversy about military drones doing surveillance in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I asked before about how big were they, is the FAA talking about drones? Like 55 pounds, that's pretty big, but that's not, I mean, that's not going to carry a missile, you know, that's not like, that's not like drone strike size, but you could carry a couple pounds probably.
I don't know if the 55 pounds is the total weight, including payload, or just the weight of the aircraft. I'm assuming it's just the weight of the aircraft.
Right. That's what I would think too. I mean, my experience with the little ones is that, and you know, we're talking really little, like ounces, is that you can't mess with the weight really at all.
But when you get up to even when you get up to just slightly larger things like the Phantom DJI, I mean, you can mount a GoPro on that thing.
Yeah, that's true. And that must weigh at least a pound.
Yeah.
A GoPro, well, maybe under a pound. So
still, it's not insignificant.
Yeah. And you could put something, you know, so if you think about the, like, what's the public hysteria around drones? Like, that guy crashed a drone on the White House lawn. Everybody freaked out and he got fired.
Yeah.
And
was that a drone or was he? I don't think it was a drone. He was actually in an ultralight aircraft, landed on the lawn, wasn't it?
If that is true, then I read the story wrong.
Okay, I may be thinking of something different.
Some other maniac.
he landed landed an ultralight aircraft somewhere in D.C. I mean, in large parts of Washington, pretty much all of D.C. except for very restricted areas right around the airport is a strictly a no-fly zone. So
you're asking for trouble there either way. Yeah. But people do, you know, I'm near the Boston Marathon was just last week, and, you know, that was like a domestic terrorist situation last year, I guess it was. And
yeah, it's like, if it can hold 1 pound camera, it can hold a pound of explosives, and that's still going to injure people.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't even like to invoke this stuff, but like anthrax powder or something.
Right.
Something just like some jacket, you know, but obviously... If the FAA regulations aren't going to stop that guy.
No, right. It's not like, well, I guess I'm going to not break this rule about killing people today because this rule about flying my remote control drone says I can't. So,
yeah, like a bunch of domestic terrorists jumping for joy when they get the FAA news.
I know, right. It's like, yes, finally, guys.
Right. But if you think about it, that's, I said public hysteria on purpose because there's such thing as car bombs and there's cars everywhere. And somehow we met an equilibrium where we said, okay, the benefits of cars are greater than the potential threat of cars.
Right. We're just not at a place at this point where the general public sees any kind of benefit to them for unmanned aircraft. And rightfully so.
Right. But... if Jeff Bezos, it might turn out that Jeff Bezos's Amazon drone deliveries isn't really just a pipe dream or a marketing stunt. And if people were getting same day deliveries of, I don't know, small stuff, like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of small stuff I order from Amazon, which is, I mean, most of the stuff I order from Amazon's small.
Yeah, most of it is.
So, you know, there could be office supplies or toiletries or who knows what.
Deploy the emergency toilet paper. Yeah.
So, you're right. I mean, what is the benefit to the average citizen of having drones buzzing around? Because they're loud. I mean, to me, that I'm less scared of like surveillance or weaponized drones than I am of it just being like this constant
background
noise.
Annoyed because you have to listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, like, in Manhattan, you can imagine, like, a segment of the bike messenger industry getting disrupted by stuff that would fit on a drone, and you have little drone landing pads on your windows in the office building, and this thing just comes in and, like, you know, delivers a bagel or you know, a burrito.
Right.
or you put some papers in it. Yeah, exactly, the taco copter. I think that was April Fool's from last year, which I totally bought into. I just love the ideas of like little burritos on parachutes raining down.
Right. Yeah, it's great. It's a great visual.
So you're right. I think that there needs to be, in the U.S. anyway, there needs to be some demonstrable benefit or people are just going to flip out and be like, you know, like there are not enough hobbyists out there that are going to, you know, be able to lobby for the benefits of this. So, you know, I guess it really does come down to like companies like Google or Amazon.
Google and Amazon, and just kind of those are the types of companies that are going to make a difference with the FAA and lobbying and when it comes to making laws.
So what do you think Google would do with drones?
Search.
search.
Hey, Google, where'd I put my... No, I'm kidding.
I've often wanted to Google my basement.
Yeah.
Where's the plunger?
Right, exactly. There's many times I wanted to Google my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the contents of my house.
Yes. I could see him doing mapping with it instead of the cars.
Yeah, I can see them doing mapping. Yeah.
Doing like 3D maps of cities.
Yeah, and they do have some commercial products that they sell through the Play Store that potentially could be delivered that way. I'm not sure the volume is large enough for it to warrant that versus, say, the volume that Amazon does. But I can see Google doing a lot of things for Google Earth with drones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google Maps Street View, Google Maps. Oh, here comes this Google Street View drone.
Yeah.
It wants to come in and map the inside of the business.
Yeah, you know, what I can't stop thinking is if all these Google and Amazon have drones flying everywhere, I just can't stop thinking there's going to be a large volume or a non-insignificant volume of them that are just going to get, like, stolen. People
grabbed.
Are just going to swipe them out of the air and hack them and have free drone.
Or, you know, or crashing into getting hung up in wires like a pair of sneakers tied together.
Right. People are going to set up nets for their drones.
Oh.
Drone net to capture one.
Oh, dronenet.com will race you. Product idea, internet.
Probably already taken.
Probably. There's so many things to talk about here.
Talk about helicopter parenting, huh?
So somebody hacked that together, actually.
Yeah, there was a news article a few days ago, sometime last week, I think, about a guy who had... He'd used a drone to follow his daughter to school. She was walking to school, mm-hmm. elementary school age child.
Yeah, it used some kind of proximity detection on her phone, or did he steer it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. Mm. But man, that's, I mean, yeah, helicopter parenting to a whole new level.
Speaking of unmanned aerial vehicles, there's a bee in here, which I am going to now pause and take care of.
If I hear a scream, I'll know you lost.
And now he's mad.
Oh, that sounds like a shoe.
Christ. Did that sound dramatic?
Did you get him with the shoe?
That was actually Cooper's diamond Minecraft sword, which has finally come in.
We have a big problem with wasps here.
Really? We have a big problem with Presbyterians.
Oh, we...
Cue the Ben Folds song. So, speaking of beneficial uses for drones, I saw a TED Talk about probably the best use form I've seen. I'm not sure if this is really going to apply to the U.S., although there are certainly remote areas that maybe it would.
I can see it applying during certain emergency situations, too.
Oh, good point. Yeah. But for delivering medical supplies to areas that don't have real good overland access or, you know, and no airports, it was definitely a much more elaborate setup than I think people typically think of with drones, like a quadcopter or an octocopter type drone.
Mm-hmm.
These were like little, they're more airplane style fixed wing drones that can take off straight up and down and then fly like with fixed wing.
Right, like little military drone type.
Right. But they were able to, and what that allowed them to do is go very long distances, like miles and miles,
mm-hmm.
And you know, deliver, you know, a lot of medicine is pretty small and light, but super, super important. So delivering like malaria medication or who knows what to areas that are really difficult to reach. Like literally don't have roads or.
Yeah. Yeah. Either for physical or political reasons that are hard to get into.
Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, supplying, yeah, that's a great, you know, in the U.S. that's a really excellent idea of having them set up to deliver medical supplies to disaster areas. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like everything, a lot of this stuff at least, like I said, with cars, it'll be like freak out at first, then there'll be some benefit to it. And then the trade-offs will be much more mundane than like, oh, I'm afraid Google's spying on me. And it's going to be more like the annoyance of like electrical wires overhead, where it's just more visual and audible noise.
It's kinda,
in the sky.
There's another drone. You know, it's going to be like, you know, it'll be like smokers, but without the cancer, you know?
Yeah, they'll be smashing into things and falling. And,
yeah.
I mean, people, there was a story, I think, last year where a guy killed himself with his own drone. He was flying it around, and it was like one of those bigger helicopter ones, and he flew right into his neck.
Yeah.
So they're dangerous. They are dangerous.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're not toys.
No. So stuff's going to happen, but, you know, stuff happens with cars too. Stuff happens with everything. So it's really, you know, is there a balance that can be struck between the utility between the utility and the risk?
Right. I mean, there's risks with cars. And so we made seat belts, we made speed limits, we made road signs. You figure them out over time and you adapt to them and you find ways to make it reasonably safe where the benefits are worth the risks.
Right. Yeah, I do think we're pretty, even like same day deliveries from Amazon is kind of thin. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what benefits can be, you know, like how to convince the public right. that there's anything worthwhile to be gained.
That's worthwhile. Yeah. I mean, there's an Amazon distribution center. Most of the stuff I order from Amazon ships out of a distribution center that's 60 miles from my house, goes to either Indiana or West Virginia and comes back. So, you know, a drone would be cool.
Yeah, like it's weird because on the one hand, I think they're cool, but on the other hand, I don't want a million of them flying around.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it would be annoying.
Like picture like a big sporting event, you know, you got like a Red Sox game or a football game or something. And, you know, you could get the sickest camera views if you could fly drones around, but like, what's the rule? You know, what, like you could literally fly down onto the field, or it could fall out of the sky and land in the field or just
right,
like,
or it could, you know, you can't fly drones at a baseball game because players need to be looking at up at the sky to find things, and it's just going to add all kinds of visual confusion. And
yeah, but that would be a great application. That would be
killer. Yeah.
Like maybe the TV stations will come up with a way. Like right now, they already like at football games, they've got cameras that they fly around on these like wires. I think it's on wires. Pretty sure. So they must have made some concession there. I wonder if they'd switch over to like.
Yeah, I mean you'd have to have some kind of like ruling at the park. It's like, oh, you can fly it in these areas at this altitude, and
it's like so crazy.
But yeah, like you said, in a populated area, if you were using drones on a regular basis for delivery and fulfillment services and that kind of thing, it just they would be everywhere. You walk down the street in New York and you'd see like a dozen drones at any given time.
Right. Yeah, they'd be swarming.
Yeah.
And then they'd become self-aware.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, when you start seeing them fly in formation, you need to worry. Right, yeah. Like the birds.
Right. They like come down and take peanuts out of your hand.
Yeah.
And then you look over your shoulder and there's like a whole bunch of them just hovering behind you.
Oh, yeah. They're like the squirrels at the college I went to after high school.
Oh, yeah.
They knew you couldn't mess with them, and so they had an attitude about it. You would walk under their tree on the way to the dining hall, and they would shake nuts down on your head. This happened every day. Or they would just come and like run up your leg. And
what?
I had one run up and untie my shoe once.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I used to like them, but now I have a house, and no, they wreck your house.
Just, yeah, they're just tree rats.
Yeah, agreed. Anybody who has a garden or a bird feeder can't stand squirrels. You mentioned Mythbusters before. What's the Mythbusters on drones?
Are we getting them?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, I don't see them coming in the next 10 years, though. Not the way we're talking about.
No, not the way we're talking about. Well, 10 years maybe, but not in the next 5.
Yeah, I agree. This is a long way off.
Yeah, I'm going to say maybe 10, not 5.
I'll go with that. Definitely 10. I can't imagine, like, to imagine 10 years from now is almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll all be in Second Life by 10 years. Like, we'll all be wearing Oculus Rift visors in right. 10 years. So drones won't matter because we'll just be right. on a feeding tube with digital goods.
I was just starting to say, plug into our feeding tube.
Right.
We won't need drones. We'll order everything we want to play with in Second Life. And then like, we can just like our plumbing system will just be replaced by our feeding tube system.
Yeah, like super like Matrix style. So 10 years does seem like ridiculously a long amount of time to be thinking. But I just don't see in the next 5 years, I don't see the use case other than very specialized use cases, like maybe in downtown Manhattan for certain things, or like maybe in a disaster area, and certainly places outside of the U.S. or like like particular areas where a movie's filming and they're taking shots, and but so, like special case stuff.
Yeah, I can see them. I could see them pretty wide adaptation in the film industry within the next 5 years. That I could see.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But dear robot listener, I don't think you're going to have to worry about them buzzing around your house in a swarm anytime soon. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review in iTunes. It'd mean a lot to Kelly and I. Thanks a lot.